everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mintel, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel, and every weekend we're here, and we're doing life together, and we're so glad that you've joined us.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here for the Dr. Linda Mintel Show.
Or is that a wedding beginning?
That sounds like a wedding, doesn't it?
It does.
That's because it's wedding season.
It is, Chris.
And much attention, you may remember a few weeks back, was focused on the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. And I know a little time has gone by, but did you watch?
I did watch a lot of segments of it on YouTube later. So did you see any of it? Did you have any favorite moments or anything you saw?
I saw some clips on YouTube, but it's not something that really grabs my attention.
Well, I did listen to the Reverend Michael Curry's sermon, and it was really good, Chris. It's on YouTube. You can just listen to it. It was focused on love. For me, it was a highlight of all the things that I saw. And he really called the congregation, I guess you would call it, to love and to get along with each other. And it was so different than the usual royal, very, I don't want to use the word stuffy, but he did not have that vibe.
Right. Well, we hope everyone's wedding feels royal, and we want to celebrate those who are tying the knot and joining two families together in marriage this wedding season.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that you're joining two families together, because you are joining two families. It's sort of a package deal. You don't have a choice, right? You're getting the two families together, and the family comes with that spouse, whether you recognize that or not.
Unless you're a missionary. Oh. And then if you get called 34 hours away from home, then you're okay.
You talking about Norm and I? Yeah, we did not meet the family ahead of time. They were a long, long way away in Argentina.
Well, do people really think about that? Maybe they live in the same city or live in a city away from the extended family. They date a person, they get engaged, and then learn about the family later.
I do think that a lot of people are not really aware of the family dynamics that can impact their relationship. And that's part of the dating process. You need to be asking about, tell me a little bit more about your family. How does your family deal with conflict? And then it's really helpful to be able to watch your spouse-to-be with his or her original family. You really learn a lot by doing that. So I suggest that you do that before you marry the family, and you're going to have a better idea maybe what you can expect from that person that you're marrying. And you can prepare for the good and the difficult times a little bit more. And you can maybe anticipate some of the problems that might come in with two families getting together. I wondered if the royals were dealing with that. Like, there was all this drama around her, Meghan's dad not showing up. But I think it had to do with medical reasons or something.
Well, they probably don't talk about a lot of the problems, I would imagine.
Like, I would think it's royal. Right. We probably just don't hear about it.
Here's a question for you. Are you going to lots of weddings this summer?
I only have one. But my daughter has three in 1 month.
Whoa.
So it's definitely the time when weddings are happening.
I remember her age, and that's when all of your friends are getting married.
Right.
There was one summer I did 10 weddings.
Oh, my goodness. I hope you didn't have to be in 10 weddings.
I got paid for a couple.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. You know, I understand marriage makes the stress scale. Is that right?
So there is a thing called the Holmes and Ray stress scale. We've talked about it before on this show. And marriage is number 7 on that scale of stress.
Right.
And then marital separation, which we don't want people to have to move towards, is number 3. And marital reconciliation, so if you're trying to put your marriage back together, it's a good thing, but it also is number 9 on the list. So the work of getting married, staying married, can be stressful, but marriage is beneficial for people. It's definitely worth the effort, as married people live longer, and they're generally more healthy than single people. So even though there's stress involved with marriage and getting married, it really has a lot of benefits.
Is the stress related to planning and all the drama? Because here's the thing. Things can go wrong. Apparently, during the other royal wedding between Kate and William, on their way to Buckingham Palace following the ceremony, a horse in the carriage procession bucked and threw its rider. And though it was sidelined and stopped from going into the crowd, it still managed to break free and ran past the carriage and into the horse's guard stables. Luckily, the rider was uninjured.
Is that on YouTube? We should probably
look
that up.
Let's
and
look
see.
That one up, yeah.
And here's one. Apparently, when Princess Diana was reciting her vows, she was really nervous, and she referred to Prince Charles as Philip Charles Arthur George, rather than, now this is his real name, Charles Philip Arthur George. Oh. The other guy was actually Prince Philip, her father-in-law.
Oops.
So having planned one wedding, I've done one so far. Mm-hmm. It's a happy occasion, but it is stressful. All the moving pieces, all the details, you want to get it right. But planning a wedding doesn't have to bring out the worst in people. It can bring out the best in people. But there are a lot of crazy things that happen.
Oh, no doubt. And I think that when funny things happen at weddings, it helps break the tension. Do you have a funny story or something that made the day memorable? Anything come to mind at your own wedding?
I got married in college, and this mm-hmm. was a long, long time ago. Right. In a galaxy far, far away. It sounds like I would be saying Star Wars here. But we had college friends, and they were just desperate to have a prank on us. So right. We actually left the reception early, went and hid, and watched them all come out and try to find us.
Oh, wow.
And we hid in the dark for the longest time until they all left, and we got out of town. So we out-pranked them.
Very nice. That sounds like something you and Dr. Norm would
come
up
with. I know. We had to do something.
At our wedding, a friend of mine pulled the coil cable out of the... We were driving an old classic car away.
Yeah.
So it would sit and crank and crank and crank, but wouldn't start.
And they pulled the cable?
Yeah, then he came out with the cable, and you're like, ha, ha, ha. There are lots of funny videos on YouTube you can find, funny moments of weddings, like the one where the couple were feeding each other the cake, and the wife bit his thumb.
Oh, gosh, was there blood? That'd be awkward, wouldn't
it? That would be, right, yeah.
Well, I read this one on the internet. A couple was short of cash, so they decided to go to City Hall and get married. And because they couldn't afford a wedding, they thought, well, City Hall, you know, why not? And they both lived near the City Hall, just a couple blocks away. So they started like a wedding march going to City Hall, and apparently the neighbors saw them, and for some reason they all started to follow them. And then a bunch of people ended up at City Hall, and they kind of took over City Hall, and they were really loud. They were laughing the whole time. And by the time the civil worker was done marrying the couple, he looked at them and he said, I never want to see you both here again. Because he said he just did it as a joke, but right. He said he needed to get back to work, and there was a huge crowd in there, and they couldn't get him to stop celebrating.
Wow.
That'd be fun, actually.
That had to have made the newspaper.
It probably.
Sure. Well, I saw a story about a bride who came down with the flu and then threw up at the reception, medicated herself with NyQuil, and ended up passing out for the rest of the night. Now, that sounds like an absolutely terrible way to spend your honeymoon and a night you don't want to remember.
Yeah, I'm sure her new husband didn't feel too good about that. Here's one more. When a phone started ringing in the middle of a couple's wedding, the priest was not amused. He started lecturing the congregation, and he told them, turn off your phones. And then he suddenly realized that it was his cell that had been ringing. Oops.
Oh, gosh. Well, hopefully people laugh about those crazy moments years later, but don't laugh at the commitment they are making, as marriage is a serious step. When we come back, we'll talk about changing attitudes toward marriage. Stay with us.
Conflict is a part of every healthy relationship. How you deal with conflict is what will either grow or destroy relationships. Do you avoid? Maybe you become highly emotional and then regret what you said or did. Getting control of our emotions is not always easy, but it is possible. Hi, this is Dr. Linda Mintel, and I wrote the book We Need to Talk in order to help all of us deal better with conflict. We Need to Talk, available at bookstores and online where books are sold.
Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mintel Show, and today we're talking about wedding stories and the importance of marriage. Let me remind you that you can use Dr. Linda's social media to find out articles on this topic and more. Go to her website, drlindamintel.com, and it will connect you to her blog, social media, and her books. And today's topic relates to her book, I Married You, Not Your Family, which I have read.
I know you have.
And I've got
a signed copy.
I do. I have an autograph. That's right. We're talking about the importance of marriage, and sadly, the number of people who cohabitate is on the rise. And surprisingly, the biggest rise is among those 50 years old and over. The over 50 age group has grown 75%.
Wow.
And according to Pew Research, around 18 million people, or 7%, were cohabitating in 2016. About half are younger than 35 years of age.
You know, that rising group of the people over the age of 50, does that surprise you?
A little bit, yeah.
I was kind of surprised when I heard you say that, but I think those are the ones who are divorced, and then a smaller number of them would be widowed.
Mm.
But about a fourth of that group has never been married at all. When you look at the stats, they have never been married. So these are people over 50 who are deciding, we're not going to get married, we're going to live with each other.
Hmm.
And part of the reason for that, Chris, is that they don't want to go through a divorce again, or they don't want to deal with the legal issues around divorce. And they just may have a more relaxed attitude about, hey, everybody's living together, why don't we?
Right. Well, marriage is a big commitment, and it's natural to be a little anxious about it. But given the benefits, why are so many people unwilling to give it a try and just live together?
I know. One of the main reasons I really think is that it's all about fear. It's fear that the marriage is going to collapse. And fear of divorce is usually the driver of avoiding marriage and living together for most people. A number of young people just don't even believe, when you talk to them, Chris, that marriage can last a lifetime.
Right.
I can't tell you how many blogs I looked at in preparing for this show where they began, it's marriage for a lifetime is just, it's not real. It doesn't happen. It was very depressing when I started reading about that. And this is what they see. This is what people see. And this is what people are hearing. It's not possible to stay in a marriage. And, you know, even if you don't have personal experience with divorce, we see a lot of high profile marriages in the media, the celebrities in particular that divorce.
Well, today's young people definitely don't have an example of people sticking together.
Right.
Then the media keeps telling us that one out of two people divorce. But I remember we did a show on that said that's not a true statement.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, the divorce rate has declined over the past 20 years.
Right. And researchers who study marriage attitudes do find that all that media attention that's given to high-profile divorces does impact our attitudes towards marriage. And some people worry that they will have a lot of emotional trauma in addition to what they're seeing in the media, and they wonder if it's worth it, if I get married. If you get married, you're going to have emotional trauma either way.
Right.
You know, it's just part of the deal, right? So the fear of that, any relationship you get into, you're going to have emotional things that come up. And if you're not married, it's just easier for people to walk away when they're just living together.
But we do need to be clear that the Bible does not support cohabitation.
That's right.
It's pro-marriage, telling us that marriage is the joining of two people who become one. Let's go over the benefits of marriage to our physical and mental health.
So we already mentioned that married people live longer and have better health, but we need to know that studies show that the benefits of marriage, those benefits do not translate to people who cohabitate. So isn't that interesting? So you get them if you get married. Now, it doesn't mean you automatically get them. You have to work at having a healthy relationship. But you don't get the same benefits if you're just cohabitating with someone.
Well, that is a negative. Why doesn't it work for those who cohabitate?
So it has to do with the relationship quality. And relationship quality is generally higher among married people than among people who live together. And marital relationships, honestly, are more enduring than people who cohabitate. The statistics still beat the people that are living together. There is just more of a level of commitment.
Right. In the Christian faith, we call it covenant, which is a type of commitment, but a more enduring type.
So the marital commitment is a covenant. So we're not saying that they're unrelated, but we are saying that a covenant is more. It's an unbreakable promise. It means you're in it for the long haul. So this term covenant rather than contract has a much deeper meaning. And maybe that's part of what scares people, that you are creating this unbreakable promise. You're supposed to be doing that in marriage. And if you go into marriage thinking you need to be in it for life, you have a better chance, at least the stats bear this out, that you might stick with it and you'll go through the difficult times with that person. So it's the beginning of a lifelong commitment and the beginning of a family in most cases as well.
One of the things I've noticed about being married is that it helps me be less selfish. I have a wife and children to serve now, and it's not just all about me.
That's right. It's not just about you when you get married, right? For all of us.
Oh, yeah. Trust me. I've been told that before.
But it's sad that 40% of children, just think about that, 40% of children are raised today without fathers present.
Wow.
Now think about your three kids and you not being around. The loss of that importance of having a father. What we see with those fatherless kids is we see a lot more mental health problems. So there's a lot of fallout from not having dads in the picture. A healthy marriage gives kids a front row seat as to how to build a strong family, how to serve, how to have the love and support of other people. And if we do it right and we mirror our Creator's unconditional love, you know, His promise is to never leave us or to forsake us. And if we have that and we do that in our marriage as well, that brings a lot of joy, that brings contentment to a couple. And we're showing our kids how you can stay in a committed covenantal relationship.
That's right. And I have the joy and I'm content enough to take us to the break. More to come on our shout out to marriage and the wedding season on the Dr. Linda Mendel Show.
Mm-hmm.
So the other day I was cut off the road by a driver. Everything in me wanted to yell, "Hey, watch out." But I restrained myself, knowing that yelling at the driver would not do so much good, and it wasn't the best way to deal with my anger. Anger easily rises up in most of us. Anger, while a natural emotion, needs to be dealt with in the right way. The Bible tells us, "Be angry, but do not sin." So what is the biblical way to handle anger? Well, this is a question I answer in my short and easy book to read, Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness. That small book has sold over 130,000 copies because of how practical and helpful it is to everyday living. So if you want to be angry but not sin, practice what Scripture teaches. Breaking Free from Anger and Unforgiveness is available on my website, drlindamental.com, and online where books are sold.
You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show, and Dr. Linda has written numerous books. And check out her books on her website, drlindamental.com, and follow her on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps and other social media as well, so you can keep up with lots of interesting things to know about making relationships work. The book we're talking about today is I Married You, Not Your Family. The first chapter talks about the importance of covenant in a marriage. And Dr. Linda, if we're struggling to stay in the marriage, where should we start?
So it's really good to begin with the idea that marriage is that covenant that you just mentioned, Chris, that it's not something you want to take lightly. And I want to remind us of the powerful words that were spoken by the reverend who married Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. So love is the starting point. And he was really good about bringing that up in that little sermonette that he did. This is what he said. Imagine a world where love is the way. Imagine our homes and families where love is the way. Imagine neighborhoods where love is the way. Imagine governments and nations where love is the way. Imagine business and commerce when love is the way. Imagine this tired old world when love, sacrificial love, is the way. Then no child would go to bed hungry ever again. Love is the way that poverty becomes history. And he went on and he just talked about the love and loving each other. And he said, we need love. We need love in our hearts and we need love for each other.
You know, love is one of the reasons that 1 Corinthians 13 is read so often at weddings. Let's go through the characteristics of love. I know this is familiar, but maybe during this time of attending weddings like we do during the summer, we can renew our vows and vow to love one another.
So I'm going to read it in the English Standard Version just because I have that Bible. And I'm going to begin at verse 4. So it says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things.
You know, if you really listen to that, there's a lot there and a lot to really listen to and pay attention to. Patience and kindness and enduring. Just doing those would make relationships so much better.
And, you know, we get reminded of those at weddings because we listen to that chapter. And I think it's one of those chapters we probably need to read regularly. The chapter then goes on to say, Chris, that love never ends. So right there, the scripture is telling us that marriage can last for a lifetime, right?
Right.
It's powerful. It shouldn't stop. It shouldn't end. It keeps going unless we try to make love stop.
Right. If those loving feelings are waning, what can we do to bring them back? Let's get practical on how to bring back those loving feelings. Sounds like a song.
I was just going to say, are you going to start singing? Both of you and I know so many songs. We always think of lyrics for these things. Well, here's the first one I would say. Be more touchy-feely. Just be more touchy-feely with those you love. Touch is really powerful. We don't always think about that.
Right.
When we touch, especially skin to skin, we get a little rush of the brain chemicals that help trigger those loving feelings. So think about how often you and your partner actually share physical contact on a daily basis. It's just a quick peck on the lips you might want to give them. You might want to hug them, touch them some way. Just make an effort to step up your game when it comes to the touch. If you do that, the research says that even a 20-second hug can trigger a significant amount of those great brain chemicals that are released. Most married couples hug for 3 seconds or less. That's not 20. You got to do it longer. So I advise you, 2 to 3 times a day, stop what you're doing, hold a long, calm embrace. It can really change your biochemistry, and you're going to begin to bond even more with your partner.
Wow. I remember the show we did on sleep and how, there's that word.
Well, that's right.
We talked about this in the last show about how I don't like certain words, and cuddling is one of them.
I know. I don't know what that is.
But anyway, cuddling.
Yeah, you said it. Good.
Great. Helps those feelings of love.
So that same rush of brain chemicals that I just talked about can also come from the physical contact in your bed.
Wow.
So just, again, that touching. So sleeping skin to skin, even just touching your toes can have relationship benefits. In fact, a 2014 survey found that couples who slept the closest to each other reported having more relationship satisfaction. So get the toddler out of the bed, the dog out of the bed, who's ever in the bed, and try snuggling for at least a few moments. Did you hear that? I said snuggling.
Ooh, there's another one.
Not cuddling. Oh, you don't like that word either?
There's something
gosh.
About those words. Isn't that weird? Well, what about, here's one. This is simple. Carving out time to spend together. Maybe a vacation to just relax and rekindle love.
Does that do that for you?
It is
when you
nice.
Get away?
It's like a boost.
It
yeah.
is. Mm-hmm. It is. It just really helps you focus on each other when you're away from everything, even what they call a staycation. It's hard to take that when you have three little children at home. Stay at home and take a vacation.
Well, it's easy. They stay at home.
And then
we go shopping.
You go shopping. But even a long weekend, if it's done right, can refresh you. So my parents used to take a week. They'd go every January to Florida without the kids every year of their marriage just to get away from us and to be together.
And they were married for?
67 years.
Wow. I think one of the problems is that when we're married a long time, we fall into some bad habits. Are there good habits that we should work at and try to keep in our love relationship?
So one of the bad habits that we tend to do when we've been with somebody for a while is take them for granted and not notice the nice things that they do for you on a regular basis. And even if you do notice them, do you say something about it? A lot of us are not good about that. We just take it for granted. So gratitude is important. So put a note in his briefcase letting him know you appreciate that he gets the dry cleaning every week, or touch her on the arm and thank her for bringing you Starbucks every day. Hint, hint. to the producer in the other room. But any of those little things, be grateful in your relationship.
Now, we established early in the show that I did not watch the royal wedding, but I heard about this look that Prince Harry gave Meghan when he saw her walking down the aisle and the kiss they had together. Now, this was all over the internet.
Did you not see that picture?
Didn't even see that.
You didn't. No. You need to. Yeah, you need to get out more. So, here's the thing: kissing can play an important role in the quality or the long time of a long time relationship. According to another study that was done at Oxford, researchers found that kissing was even more important to a relationship than frequent sex. A 30-second kiss gives us a warm, fuzzy, safe bond, and we feel that. I'm going to use that word, cuddling hormone again, oxytocin. The spouses can get this feeling by just practicing not only hugging, but then kissing. Add that to it, and you get a mini connection with your partner in the morning and at night if you just do it those two times a day.
That's really easy to do.
It is. Huh. It is.
And the kids think it's hilarious, too.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that was one of the funny things I saw on the internet at weddings was kids, like, closing their eyes and putting their hands over their face and going, no, they're kissing.
Our kids actually will say, hey, Mom and Dad. Kiss.
I can see your oldest daughter doing that.
Oh, yeah. Well, kissing and touch help the physical, but what about making an effort to compliment your spouse? You mentioned earlier that's something that we have a hard time doing.
Right.
I think it's a powerful expression of love.
It is. And especially when you've been in a relationship for a long time, it really gets easy to focus on the negatives, the things you don't like that your spouse do, right? So again, we're going to turn that around. We're going to focus on the good things and less on the bad. You've maybe heard this garden analogy that sometimes people say that you water what you want to grow and don't water the weeds, which would be the negative stuff.
Right.
So letting your partner know what you love about them, whether it's physical, intellectual, emotional, it can actually help you see that person in a more positive light.
I think it's important to not think negatively about your partner, even when you are really frustrated, because if you start thinking negatively, it just grows and leads into almost not liking each other.
See, that's that watering I'm talking about,
right,
where you put water on that, the negative water.
Yeah. Right. What about surprises? Does that help keep the spark alive?
It really does. If you want to really keep love alive and you want to really get regenerated like you were when you first got in that relationship, when you want to remember yourself when you're standing there giving those vows and how excited you were, just do something new, because that gets the feel-good hormones going in the brain, and it brings excitement into the relationship. So just do something different, whether it's a different type of date night, or you go to some new restaurant, or you try a new food, or you do some kind of a weekend overnight in a new place, or you do a new vacation, even if it's a short one. Anything that can bring in the element of surprise, that's a good thing.
Well, maybe part of that novelty is to create something new together. And Sharon and I have, well, created three children. That's something we have done together.
That's right. Yeah. And the couple who lasts the longest tends to be the ones who create something together. So often it is children, like you just said. But you can even do that with a business or a charity or a home remodeling project or something. So look for something you're both interested in. Not just something you're into and she's into separately, but something you can do together and you can get on board with it. And when you work together and you do something together, you're going to care about each other and you're going to see that love continuing to grow.
I would think that the most important way to stay in love is to love God with all your heart, and then he helps you love others. Mark 12 tells us, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than love.
Yeah, that's really good. And 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. 1 Corinthians 16:14 also tells us, do everything in love. If the royal wedding only served the purpose to remind us of love, it did a lot of good. We love because he first loved us.
Right.
And then John 15:12-13 reminds us, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Look, this wedding season, don't be stressed. Remember, marriage is about the kind of love that is committed and lasts, that covenantal love that we've talked about. Purpose in your heart to love more and to love better, not just when you attend a wedding, but remind yourself of your vows and love every single day. Well, that's all the time we have today. Many thanks to our producer, Norm Mintel, our social media director, Kelby Keimig, our engineer and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes the show a conversation. Hey, from all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.